Hello, hi, and welcome back. This is Amy.
And this is E.
And you're listening to Curse Words and Crayons presents True Crime. Today is the moment that Z has been waiting for, quite possibly forever.
It's a pig farmer, you guys. We are talking about a pig farmer. People have died on this pig farm, and I am fucking excited. I mean, that sounds really morbid. I should get some more hobbies. But for today, it's a good day. It's a good day. It's a good morning. I'm starting off bright and early. Fucking pig farmers. Pigs are eating people. Like, this is it for me. This is it. This is high excite. High excite for me.
It really is. When we first started this podcast, it was poison. We had really, like, poison was our method of choice. And Z has really flipped the script and has moved to pig farms.
Okay, no. Mine is a combination. If I have learned one
combo,
thing from
a 1-2 punch, if you will.
Boom, 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 boom. If I have learned one thing from this podcast, it's not the judicial system, okay? It is if
you're
You
are never going to get that, okay?
I'm not going to get it. I'm never going to know what anything is. I'll look it up, but if I'm going to schmoff somebody off, if I'm going to unalive them, not touch their private parts, if I'm going to unalive somebody, it's going to be with poison, and then I'm going to travel to a nearby pig farm, not my own pig farm, and to somebody else's pig farm, a random one. I'll never look it up on my phone before then. I won't even, I'll have to internet it from my friend Lizzie's house, actually. So,
I was
going to
say from somebody's, because do you know where all the pig farms are? I certainly do not.
I mean, I do live in Texas, and
I keep track just in my head. Mental note, this is where a pig farm is.
I do know where there is farmland. So yes, I would dispose of the body at a nearby pig farm. Again, not my pig farm. So bam, there. Now my FBI agent who is watching us has my entire plan. Right. I don't leave the house much, so I'm pretty easy to track. I'm fine. I'm not going to do it. But if I did, I would poison you and feed you to pigs. That's just what I would do.
I do love it. And I do love your honesty around it but let's be honest, I feel like the two of us are really too tired, and our FBI agents kind of know this. Like, they talk a lot of game, but they're really sleepy at the end of the day. And so the pig farm plan is fun to talk about. But I don't know that
she talks a lot of game, but she's not going to leave the house without a bra on. And she took it off at 10 this morning. So I think she's done for the day. I think she's staying in.
Right. That body's going to have to stay in the garage for a while. We're not going to see that happen. But I came across this little cutie on TikTok, actually. Somebody else had posted about it. And I knew.
Yeah, this is Amy's suggestion.
All it said was Robert Picton. Pig farm murderer. And I was like, this is the one that we will be covering.
This is us.
And I'm super excited about it. But before we jump into this week,
show and tell,
tell you about another little cutie that I heard all about. And I just had to try it for this week's show and tell. We've been covering a lot of like beauty products. This is not so much a beauty product, but just something kind of like fun and creative and decorating. Have you heard of Inkbox?
Yes and no. I think, okay. But also it could be a plethora of things. I'm thinking of an octopus. I know that's not what it is.
That is not. It is not an octopus. It could be an octopus, I guess.
It could be a nickname for an octopus. Maybe I call octopuses ink boxes. I mean,
if people don't start calling octopuses ink boxes, I'm going to be really upset. It's over. But Inkbox is a semi-permanent, aka temporary, but not like temporary tattoos you'd get as a kid. It's a tattoo company.
Is that why that came up on my Facebook feed this morning? Because you decided this was our product recommendation? Because I've been seeing so many ads the last 24 hours for fucking adult temporary tattoos. And they look badass.
Maybe.
They look really cool.
Because I decided a few days ago this was going to be our product rec, so it could very well be that your FBI agent and myself are plotting to get you one of these Inkbox tattoos. So I have several actual permanent tattoos, and some of them I got on the fly. Some of them I got because someone told me I wouldn't do it, which is a terrible way to get a tattoo, everyone. Don't get a tattoo just because somebody says you're not going to do it. And then you're like, oh yeah, bet me. Because then you're stuck with that. I don't want to be everybody's mom, but you're stuck with that for the rest of your life. So sometimes I didn't really think about it. Like I was like, oh yeah, I really want to do this. It's impulsive, whatever. Great. Okay, cool. And some of them have a lot of meaning and some of them are just like, I don't know, like I decided to get this. Inkbox is newer on the scene. Like it hasn't been around for a super long time, but I have seen it for like maybe a few years. But I came across it on the Amazons and I put one in my cart because I was like, oh, that's kind of cool. Like I wonder if that works was really kind of my thought was, you know, because you know when you're a kid and you put a temporary tattoo on and then like part of it gets scraped off and so you have like a one-eyed like frog, yes, or whatever, and it looks weird and I'm like, that sounds terrible. I don't want a tattoo like that. I want to see if it works. So I like put it in the cart kind of haphazardly. Well, Chris went to order something else, saw it was in the cart and just ordered it, which sometimes happens in our house if I don't like move it to save for later or whatever. So I was like, well, I guess I'm trying this. Okay, sounds good. So I actually literally put it on this morning just to kind of see what it's like. But if you like to test the waters or get creative with your bod and like the stuff that you want, you don't want a permanent tattoo that's going to be around forever, I fully recommend it. It also, which I think is going to be right up Z's wheelhouse, it uses the ink that they use for the tattoos. It's from the Genipa plant. And so it's like all natural, like you're not putting like gross, weird stuff, but it's not henna, but it's similar to henna because it's like the same kind of like dyeing process. Really easy to use, really easy to apply, and they say it lasts for like 2 weeks. So still to be seen. I will let you guys know what happens. But something else I really love about this company that I hear from a lot of my old lady friends now that don't have tattoos yet, they're like, I'm worried that I'm going to get something and I'm going to hate it. Mm-hmm. You can actually send them your, like you can set it up online just like you would a t-shirt. You can create your own design and they will send that to you and then you could place it and see if you like it. And if you hate it, you don't have to like permanently get it. But if you like it, you could make your own thing.
Fun fact, I have zero of the tattoos.
I know. Is that a choice or is it decision fatigue or is it because they cost money and you're cheap?
So I think back in the day, I would have been less about the cheap thing.
Yeah.
So that wasn't it. I am deathly scared of the dentist. I have massive anxiety and anxiety around needles. And also another fun fact, I had to get hormone injections for multiple weeks with both of my children, multiple times a week. So that was just like really fun. And now I'm not so scared of needles anymore, but I got my eyebrows done.
Oh, and that's actually, right. Yeah.
I almost passed out because I just got really in like, there was no pain at all. I just got really anxious because I could hear the skin scraping.
Oh yeah. You can and see it too if you watch it.
I was not prepared for that. And so she had to point fans on me because I just needed air to like just be moved. And then I was good to go. Like I just needed there to be some, but like I straight up thought I was going to pass out. And when I got my nose pierced, I passed out.
It's a needle thing.
Yes. And all of my friends back in the day when I would have gotten a tattoo were like, oh, da, 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 this is so meaningful to me. There's nothing that has been that meaningful to me that I would want it tattooed on my body for the rest of my life. Like, I would have had Harry Potter tattoos, and I hate J.K. Rowling now.
Right. And then a lot of people are in that same boat. If you were
like, I would have had Harry Potter tattoos and like, it's fine. I still hold a piece of, it is okay.
Well, sure. Right. It was part of your childhood.
It was a defining moment in my, like a huge part of my childhood, but that doesn't mean that I want like that displaying on my body anymore.
Or just in general. I have one sibling who is in your same boat. She has zero tattoos. And every time she thinks about getting one is like, I don't know what I would, I just don't know what I would get. I don't know what I would do. I don't know where. What I want permanently. Right.
Yes.
Where and how I want it. And then if you've ever seen my brother, he's literally head to toe covered in tattoos. And he has so many really cool ones. Some of them super meaningful. Some of them just like, oh, yeah, let's get this. Whatever, it's fine.
And I think that's so cool.
He's got a poke tattoo. But he like went to a person that like specializes in it. It was like a medicine person. It was like this whole big experience. And that's really his thing. He's an artist. He's really into it. I have just a few like in random places. One of them, my brother and I have that match. I have one that like with friends, I've done it as like an experience too, where it's like, oh, let's do this together and we'll have like the same thing, which is kind of fun.
I think that's great. I also have never had, I've never had like a best friend that's lasted for like such a long period of time too, that I was like, no, we'll do this together. And like my brother and I don't have the same type of relationship that you and your siblings do.
Well, for sure. And I think it's different. And I think to each his own. I remember being younger and thinking like, oh, if you don't have a tattoo, like you're just like so judgy and so terrible. But there are sometimes I look at my tattoos and I'm like, I really, or someone will ask like, well, why'd you get that one? Oh no, I thought it was cool. Like I thought I'd like it. And now it's not that I don't like it. It's just not like, if I was to do it over again, I wouldn't do it over again. The thing I love about these is you can test it out. Or if you're just like, you know what, I feel kind of like people who wear like fake nose piercings or different things. Like it's just kind of fun and something that you can express yourself in a different way. And I really like that you can choose your own things. Chris has a tattoo for Hayden and wants to get one for Milo also. It doesn't have names, but it's like a picture that like represents them to him, which is great. But this would be a good way to try it out before you actually permanently.
And for placement wise.
Yes. Too. Right. And that's a really hard decision to make. I think that was always the hardest thing for me. Like, where am I going to put this? That I'm going to like it. And I'm going to like it in like 10 years.
Ooh, you know, well, I normally run in the winter, but I could put it on my leg for my half marathon too.
Oh, that would be cool.
Mm-hmm. Do like, I don't know, fucking curse words and crayons, bitches, right there on my thigh.
Something fun that's like just Follow for us. One day. Oh my gosh, what if you got, like a QR code? You could just like people could tag you when you're doing that. That's so fun. So we have a discount code. We also have them linked in our Amazon store. If you're interested, you can get them on Amazon or on their website, either place. Obviously, if you want it personalized, you got to do it through their website. The website one, I think it's like 25% off, which is not bad. So pretty good. And Amazon, the one I got was like $9. Like they're super cheap. They're not like no investment really at all, which is amazing. So now I'm going to attempt a terrible segue into our episode. Inkbox is actually a Canadian company. And who else is Canadian? Robert Picton, who is who we're talking about today, who I think is our first ever Canadian, by the way.
No, because we've done Missing Women in Canada. Yes, yeah, sorry to burst your bubble on
That's
that
okay.
one.
That's okay. But that was my sad attempt at a Canadian segue. But Z, you're starting us off today. Tell us a little bit about Robert Picton.
He's just a gem. Okay, so Robert was born to Leonard and Louise, a family of pig farmers in British Columbia, and it's 17 miles east of Vancouver. I just went to Vancouver for the first time, and let me just say, gorgeous. Cool. So this is not about me. This is about Robert. Okay. It would be better if it was about me, but that's fine. We can do that later. So Robert's older sister, he has an older sister. Her name was Linda. They sent her to live with other relatives in Vancouver because they thought that the family pig farm would be an inappropriate setting to raise a young girl.
I don't understand. Like, this is not a stereotype I am familiar with. Like, women and pigs. No way.
My aunt Edwina, my great aunt Edwina had a pig farm. I mean, she was a woman and that was her pig farm.
It's a lot of killing and they're dirty and pigs can be kind of violent.
Yes.
I don't know. I don't know. It seemed like a weird choice, but.
Yes, but whatever. They sent the girl away. They were like, girl, right. Child, no thank you. Also, yeah. Maybe she wasn't as, like, sturdy and helpful around the farm. Like, that sucks, maybe. But whatever. Get out of here. So, Robert and his younger brother, David. You're going to hear a lot about Robert and David. They're, like, hip, mm-hmm. hip buddies, well, and brothers. So, they're, like, yeah. they're attached together, basically. They begin working at the farm at a very early age, and their mother was extremely demanding. She prioritized the pigs over the brothers' personal hygiene, and she would force them to work long hours with the livestock. This would also mean that they went to school a lot, unwashed, in dirty clothes, reeking of manure, and earning, this is kind of sad. This is actually just sad, not kind of sad. This is just sad in general. The brothers earned a nickname called, everybody called them Stinky Piggy from their classmates. Like, it's awful.
So mean.
Awful. Let's teach our kids not to pick on other people for being stinky. Like, that sucks, but, like, that's probably not that kid's fault. It's probably their parents' fault.
I feel like especially before you hit, like, middle eight? School. Right. Yeah, like, 10. Somewhere where you can really, like, bathe and yourself, then, do all those things.
And that's if you have the facilities right. and the stuffs to bathe yourself, because I have had a lot of teacher friends and they work in very, like, low income areas. Yeah. And they're like, I have to have baby wipes in my desk because I give the kids whore baths. Sometimes in the morning. I don't know what else to call them. Where that's the pits.
Right. Yeah.
When you're put, do your pits and then take some and you go into the bathroom and you do your privates as well. Right. And like, here's some deodorant for you. And here's a toothbrush and a toothpaste. And they have to keep like a ton of personal hygiene stuff in there. Like that's what they spend all their money on. Basically they're like school supplies, LOL crayons. We don't need crayons. Like this kid like is wearing the same clothes from 7 days ago.
A t-shirt, so. Right. My kid's school does a like a closet at school where it's unlocked. All the kids know about it and they can go in at any time. And there's like food and hygiene products and all kinds of different things. Now my kids go to a little bit more of an affluent school. So I'm sure keeping that stocked is not difficult because people are constantly bringing stuff in. But I bet in some of the lower income areas, teachers are probably needing to carry that burden. And this is like, in the 60s and 50s
yes,
and 60s.
Yes, so they were born in the 50s and 60s. So this is when
these things are not
up.
Happening. Like this is, no. There's not like a
they're just
hygiene
like,
closet.
Kids,
at
you
school.
Stink. Get the fuck out of here. Like that's
right,
as nice
so
as they're being
mean.
About it.
Yeah, so mean.
I mean, understandably though, like it is sometimes there are just very offensive smells and you don't want to be near that offensive smell.
For sure. And I get that. And as a kid, it's probably really hard to understand that, especially if that's not something you're being taught at home. Like, hey, maybe that kid doesn't have enough money or maybe that kid is whatever. Kids are naturally going to say that's gross or that it's offensive to them.
Because it is gross and it should be offensive that nobody is taking care of those children properly.
Yes. That's the bigger kicker is like, yes, they're getting made fun of, but also they're not being cared for, which is very sad.
Yes.
But we hear that a lot with a lot of, you know, folks that end up in old Robert's situation.
Exactly. Robert was strongly attached to his mother, even though, in my personal opinion, she sounds like she super sucked. He was really close with her, though. He had little interaction with his apparently very abusive father. So his father was big old, you know, knocking him around. He struggled in school. He was put in a special class after failing the second grade. And just nothing got better for him. Actually, there's a story that at the age of 12 that Robert had begun raising a calf that became his like beloved pet. And 2 weeks later, he could not find it after school. He's all like, where's my calf? Where's my cow? Where's my buddy friend? He was told to check the barn and found his calf slaughtered. Which farm life, okay. However, there should have been some preparation work. Like I tried to tell myself and everybody around my child, if I do not prepare my child for that, for the situation in every way that I possibly can for her to walk into it and feel confident, that is my problem. I have not done my job.
I've heard you say that before. And I think the first time I heard you say that, I was like, I don't know that I agree with that, but I do. I think I do agree with that because this morning I was having a completely different conversation with my kids about getting on the bus. They're going to get on the bus today. They're taking the
yes,
bus.
You have to prepare them. This is the situation that's happening. This is what's going to happen next. And once you get to school, X, Y, Z, like you have to.
Right. And I thought about you as we were having that conversation because I'm like, what's your bus number? Tell me what your bus number is. We're going to write it on the inside of your backpack because they haven't ridden the bus home yet this year and they haven't ridden it since like halfway through the year last year. So it's been a long time and my kids don't listen. Like they really are like kind of out there in the ether and like their teachers are going to know and the office is going to know. But if they don't know and they don't get on the bus, that's because I didn't prepare them well enough. Now, now I know. I've given them literally everything that they need to make that decision. Their teachers know, the office knows, it's written inside of their backpack.
And they know.
And they know. But if I raised my kid on a farm, I would have, number one, a really hard time with killing their pets. And the
yes,
and the,
there's like, a difference between livestock and pets as somebody who has been raised around livestock.
Right, which is like total. And I've heard of people, a guy that I work
big
with,
difference.
He raises animals and he will often say, well, I don't want to raise XYZ because then I have to kill it and I don't want to kill something that's my pet. Like I'm not
100%. Like, for instance, cool, I couldn't have bunnies because my dad told me if I raised rabbits, I had to eat rabbits. So we did not have rabbits.
So no rabbits for you. But also I wonder if this type of attitude towards, not that like every person who's ever had a calf that's been slaughtered, but the not preparing them and the separation of like life, it doesn't matter. And I'm just going to kill this cow. And you're not being told like, this is for food. And this is why we, you know, like the reasons behind it, if that makes you value other human life less.
Ooh, because you just see that everything's disposable.
Right. Like
everything's for your personal gain.
Right. Like this calf is costing me too much money, I'm going to kill it and then it's going to become food and then that makes me money or that gives me something that I need. Or if I'm going to raise rabbits to be my pets, I have to kill them and eat them because they have to have a purpose. You know, like there has to be like a purpose. I think there's definitely humane and moral ways to do that. And I'm not saying you would have to kill a rabbit.
It also is very hard if you are in a different financial situation where literally any money that you are putting into these livestock that you have into these animals is honestly food that you're taking out of your own fucking mouth to get food later on. If that makes any sense.
It makes perfect
sense. So it's yes, I want to be like, yeah, Amy. Yeah, you're so right. And then also I'm like, okay, but what if they weren't in a financial, like, this is not it. Okay. The calf is not it. Okay.
Right. Yeah.
So not a good example, but what if they were not in a financial situation to make any other decisions other than every animal that we purchase has to be slaughtered because we have to eat food.
Right. But like you said, or like earlier when you started talking about the calf, there should have been some preparation
100%.
For that. Like, listen,
we're going to kill your cow.
Bessie is going to die because we need that for food or we need to sell it for something else. And here's the reason, not just you walk in and like your cat's been murdered, you know, like that's just,
Yes. And also like maybe clean up for your kid a little bit. Like they don't have to see all of that
right,
all the time.
Right. Agreed. But as we've pointed out, and you will see throughout this episode, this family is not the example of parenting that we want to be teaching or spreading to anybody.
Mm-mm-mm. So Robert actually ended up dropping out of school in 1963 and he began working as a meat cutter. Well, yeah, that seems, I mean, he would have butchery skills. So he continued to do so for nearly 7 years before leaving to work full time at a different farm. He had his own farm and then also worked on farms, which
a different farm. Which
what a hard life, you guys. If you have animals, wow. Like, and I mean, I don't mean dogs and cats. I mean, like, if you have like real
farm animals, yeah.
Yes, wow. So much commitment that requires. So much commitment.
Yeah, not interested. Especially because, you know, you're not really like your dog and your cat or like your house pets, like those, you're supposed to love them and they're like your kids and blah, blah, blah. But like when you have livestock, that is not the attitude that you have. So like you have
sometimes
to care for these
is.
Things and not be like in love with them.
Sometimes It is, and but it also depends on how they're running their farm. And I don't think they were running their farm right. Because I have friends with very beloved cows, very beloved milk cows.
And that I think they like great.
Kiss all up on, yeah. They cuddle all up on their big dogs, basically.
Yeah.
Like,
I love that.
Love it. Same with my aunt had mini donkeys and she taught them to wear hats.
Oh my God, stop. Mm-hmm.
She was a gem. She was a gem. Fucking mini donkeys with hats and she made ear holes.
Oh my God.
That's the only reason why she got mini donkeys, Amy. I mean, because she wanted them to wear hats.
The only reason to get a mini donkey is to get it to wear a hat. I am obsessed with baby goats.
Oh.
They have to be like the tiny ones because goats are actually very mean and they will bite you. And I'm not interested in that. But little tiny like pygmy goats. Oh, yeah.
But you. Mm-hmm. We do the topi 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 perigo with renitos. And that's a Mexican. Oh. That's a Mexican game where you like. It means ram me like a bull or like ram me like a goat. And so you topi, 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 and then you topi, perigo. And when you say perigo, that's when you ram your heads against each other.
Oh, that's and so funny. Does he it's do really it? Sweet. Oh,
it's
my really God. Sweet.
It's the cute. And he goes, ha, ha. It's so cute.
Right.
Anyway, should we talk about this fucking serial killer?
I mean, let's get into it. Do we have to? Because I would rather talk about cute baby animals. But...
I know. Me too.
So we've heard how his parents are terrible. Anytime we hear about a killer and his weird obsession with his mother, she's never very nice. So I don't ever expect it to be like, wow, she was a real gem. It's usually like...
I didn't
like,
hear anything about her touching his private parts, though, which makes me feel
either,
a little bit better.
Which is like, okay,
not to say she didn't.
You get one half of a check on your side, lady. But she was just... the worst. This is a little story to tell you about how she's like literally the worst. We've talked about Robert. He has a brother. His brother's name is Dave. Both terrible. We're going to talk more about Robert, but Dave gets some FaceTime in this episode as well. On October 16th in 1967, Dave, Robert's little brother, was driving his father's truck shortly after getting his license. The information about what actually happened is a little murky, a little shady, but something happened that caused the truck to slam into a 14-year-old boy who had been walking along the side of the road. That boy's name was Tim Barrett. Dave panics. He goes home to tell his mom what had happened. She gets in the truck with Dave, returns to the spot where Tim was lying, and he's injured pretty badly, but he's still alive. According to news reports, Louise bent over to inspect him and then pushed him into a deep rut running along the side of the road. The next day, Tim Barrett was found dead. An autopsy revealed that he actually had drowned and that his injuries were severe, but they would not have killed him. Her shoving him into a rut where there was probably water and like standing water is what actually killed him. Not the injuries, which is horrible. Like, can you imagine taking your mom to be like, holy crap, I hit this kid, what do I do? And she just is like, kicks him over in the ditch and is like, let's go home.
And like, you're watching her, you're with her, and not take a bath. Shut the fuck up, Amy.
Let's just go home and put on dirty clothes. Like, I just can't. My mom gets mad if I like don't hold the door for somebody when we're like walking into like a store.
Oh,
so
for
I don't
sure.
know that she, I would can imagine her kicking somebody into a rut. Anyways, Tim is dead. Coming back to old Robert, his murderous streak doesn't start until the early 90s. So this is 1967 when the murder happened with Tim Barrett. I don't know about what happened with his conviction of that, because obviously they found out who had been that he'd been murdered. I don't know if it was maybe not until like after the fact.
It was later after the fact. I think they just found him and were like, oh, what happened?
This kid died. Yeah, I drowned in him.
And then once Robert got arrested, he was like, you know what happened? We actually murdered him. We just said, bye-bye, sir.
He's the greatest. He's just the best. So early 90s, he starts working at a different farm outside of Vancouver. Somebody who worked with Robert later said that the property was creepy, which sounds about right.
Sure. I mean, yeah. Okay.
So instead, aside from the property being really remote, like in kind of in the middle of nowhere, that obviously adds to the creep vibe. Instead of a guard dog, they had a large boar that patrolled the farm and would often bite or chase trespassers.
Yes.
So
please.
Cool.
I need a big fucking boar.
I don't know that I would mind. If I knew that a boar would not like attack its like owners, I might have a boar that like bit people that I didn't like. So this boar, he just, the farm that he's working on, this is not their family farm. This is a different farm. It's just creepy vibes all the way around. So this is in the early 90s. Robert is getting started with some of his murdering, but David also gets in trouble again. And he gets...
Not David! Oh, I thought he was so good. It's weird.
He gets convicted of sexual assault in 1992. He was given a fine and 30 days probation, In this case, the victim told police that David had attacked her in his trailer at the pig farm, but she managed to escape. He had also been sued 3 times for traffic offenses between 1988 and 1991, and he settled all 3 claims out of court. So I don't know if it, I don't know how.
That has nothing, like, I mean, it has everything to do with it. I don't give a fuck. Lame. Who cares? Right. Sorry. Sorry you ran a red light. Be nicer.
Right. If you're talking sexual assault or rolling through a stop sign, I don't really care.
I'm kind of going to focus a little bit more maybe on the sexual assaults. Like, all of that red light, though, very important. Stop there, please.
Same. All lights matter. It's really important. In 1994 and 1995, his parents, Robert and David's parents, pass away. And they inherit the family.
They're gone, but like, boo.
This is where the magic happens. So they inherit the farm, and then they start selling off parts of the farm. And they earn a total of, I mean, upwards of about $5 million based on like what they sold. So they've kept a small portion of the farm. So enough to, I guess, still operate pig farmery and like weird murdery stuff. But everything else they sell off, upwards of $5 million. So like they're now loaded where they were super poor. And I don't mean to be like rude and like, don't come at me, but like Beverly Hillbilly stuff. Like they're now, they have like a shit ton of money. They don't know what to do. And I don't know if you've seen pictures of Robert Picton. Look it up. He literally looks like somebody who would have been in like The Hills Have Eyes or like Deliverance. He's very...
He has like no hair on like the top of his head. He's just got like the side hair and it's long and scraggly and he looks like his breath smells really bad.
Whatever you think he looks like, that is what he looks like. He looks like... I know exactly.
He looks like a Family Guy character almost. Like...
Okay, yeah. I could see that. This is really where the killings...
Ooh, no. Started. He looks like Luann's boyfriend in King of the Hill.
Yes. Like a King of the Hill character. You're absolutely right. You're right. So he starts killing people. That's okay. He starts killing people. His mom was quite possibly the worst. But when she died, they turned that house into like
Creepmobile.
And we're going to circle back to this. But just know that this farm is about to become, I don't know, the party place to be, which I'm sorry. If you invited me to a party, Robert Picton, I'm not coming to that party. I'm not interested. On March 23rd, 1997, Robert was charged with the attempted murder of a prostitute named Wendy Eisetter, who he had stabbed several times during an altercation at the farm. Wendy had informed police that Robert had handcuffed her, but that she had escaped after suffering several lacerations. She told them that she disarmed him and then stabbed him with his own weapon. So, Wendy, you're the real MVP of the story.
So, he was released on bond and the attempted murder charge against him was dropped. It didn't stick because she had a drug addiction. So, she had drug issues and they believed her to be too unstable for her testimony to have a secure conviction, which is just because she does the drugs doesn't mean that he didn't try to rape her.
Does it make her less of a human? Like, she had been assaulted and she should have been believed, but this is something we see a lot of, which is really disgusting.
And I don't think he was probably very sober at the time either, so that's not entirely fair. Like, her being out of her mind is the same as him being out of his mind, and it's all relative. Women should be able to get blackout, wasty-faced in certain places
just like
and not
anybody
have to worry
else.
About it.
Yeah,
men don't have to worry about it, so why should we? So Remember how we said that they made the farm into like a party spot, right? So think about like a frat house. Is that, that's a similar vibe that I get to the description. So it's all like, there's probably solo cups all over the place. Everything's sticky. There's never any toilet paper, that whole vibe.
Yeah.
The Picton brothers were eventually sued by the area that they lived in, by the officials, for violating zoning ordinances because they were neglecting using the space for agriculture because it's a farm and it was like put on farmland.
Now it's a rave. Yeah. Like,
yes, so. Exactly. And now it's basically a rave. And they were also fined for altering a large farm building on the land for the purposes of holding dances, concerts, and other recreations, which, I mean, that kind of sounds like a fun time. I mean, that sounds like something I would have done in high school, go to something like this. Okay. Sounds like a lot of the frat parties that I went to in college, too, to be completely honest.
It does kind of sound like work smarter, not harder, friends. Like, oh, well, you're going to find me? Well, this is going to become a dance spot. So guess what?
Exactly. They had begun neglecting the site's farming operations, and they registered it as a nonprofit charity. Piggy Palace, Good Times Society. They registered that in 96, claiming to organize, coordinate, manage, and operate special events, blah, 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 all the other stuff for different sports organizations, service organizations, and other worthy groups.
Just, I'm not going to lie, I kind of would like a t-shirt that says the Piggy Palace, Good Times Society.
We could make one.
We absolutely
could. We put the three little pigs on it.
Oh my God. But like, or the kind of Piggy pigs. Palace, Good Times Society that I want to be a part of is not anything that has to do with this. Like, no way.
So the events included raves, wild parties featuring a ton of sex workers, and gatherings in a converted slaughterhouse. No thanks.
Oh, no.
No thanks.
I'm
These
out.
Events, yes, attracted as many as 2,000 people, and members of the Hell's Angels were known to frequent the farm. The brothers ignored the growing legal pressure and held a 1998 New Year's Eve party because the government at this point was coming after them, being like, yo, this is a fucking farm and you're using this as a not farm. Like, you're not farming and like you're supposed right. to do that. It's what this land is for.
Farmers be farming, not and throwing parties.
Partying, not raving. And so, but they were like, fuck it. They did this 1998 New Year's Eve party, and they were faced with an injunction banning future parties. So the police were actually authorized to arrest and remove any person attending future events at the farm. And their nonprofit status was removed the following year. So in 99, it was removed for the inability to produce financial statements. And it was disbanded. So that's just, it's just all very unhinged.
Something that I learned this year about nonprofits, because this is totally, it is, it's follow me, come with me on this journey. Mm-hmm. When you start a nonprofit, you actually don't own it. The government owns your nonprofit because you can't profit off of it. So had the Picton brothers watched the webinar that I watched about becoming a nonprofit, they would have known that you don't own it anymore. So, and in order to have a nonprofit, you cannot be the owner of it. It has to be governed by like a board. But if you guys would have called me, we could have set up the Piggy Palace Good Old Boys Society in a very different way. On February 6th, 2002, police executed a search warrant for illegal firearms at the Picton property. When police initially executed a search at the pig farm, they were looking for illegal firearms.
Because they would, like, shoot them off at, like, the parties and shit. Right, they were like, just out there be like, wild. Yes, probably killing random people on accident.
Right. Which, that's what it does. Don't do that. Down, everyone. Exactly. We don't shoot bullets into the air. But what they saw was so shocking and vile that they quickly obtained a second warrant to investigate the property further. There, they found body parts and bones literally scattered across the property. Many of them were in the actual pigsties, so where the pigs lived, and belonged to Indigenous women. The following day, Picton was charged with weapons offenses, and Dave and Robert were later released. However, Robert was kept under police surveillance. on February 22nd, so literal days later, we're like still in the same month, Robert was arrested and charged with 2 counts of first-degree murder for the deaths of Serena Abbotsway and Mona Wilson. Now, here's where you're going to have to follow me. On April 2nd, three more charges were added for the murders of Jacqueline McDonald, Diane Rock, and Heather Bottomley. A sixth charge for the murder of Andrea Josbury was added on April 9th, followed shortly by a seventh charge for Brenda Wolfe. On September 20th, 4 more charges were added for the slayings of Georgina Papin, Patricia Johnson, Helen Hallmark, and Jennifer Firminger.
Wait, stop. Helen Hallmark? I know. Get out of here. What a sweet baby angel.
Perfect name. They're all sweet baby angels, and it's very sad.
All of them
are. But yeah, your name is Helen Hallmark. You should be like in a cute little dress walking with your books tied with a ribbon. Yeah, for sure. So now we're up to 11 charges right now. Another 4 more charges for the murder of Heather Chinnock, Tanya Holk, Sherry Irving, and Inga Hall came in on October 3rd, bringing the total to 15. On May 26th, 2005, 12 more charges were put in against Picton for the killings of Kara Ellis, Andrea Borhaven, Deborah Lynn Jones, Marnie Frey, Tiffany Drew, Carrie Kosky, Sarah DeVries, Cynthia Felix, Angela Jardine, Wendy Crawford, Diana Melnick, and a Jane Doe, who they never figured out who she was, bringing the total of first-degree murder charges to 27.
And that's just the people that they could piece together and get enough DNA right off of, and yeah.
So the search of this property gets really intense. They continue to excavate the farm through November of 2003. So this all started in 2002. So now we're like a year later, they're still excavating this property. The cost of the investigation is estimated to have been $70 million by the end of 2003. So and the property at this point is currently fenced off under lien by like the government. In the meantime, all the buildings on the property, except a small barn, have been demolished. Forensic analysis proved difficult because the bodies had been like left to decompose, eaten by insects, eaten by the pigs. It was really
hard. And they'll eat bones too. Pigs will eat bones.
They'll eat everything. Yeah, which is why some people were unable to be identified.
That's why I'm telling you, I'm going to poison you and I'm going to feed you to pigs. Just not you, Amy. Just in general.
I mean, I'd prefer not.
If you fuck with me. Right. I would, that's what I would have to do. I wouldn't, though. I would just cry.
Right. And then I'm sad because you made me so mad that I had to kill you. It was terrible. But during the early days of excavation, forensic anthropologists brought in heavy equipment. This included 2 50-foot flat conveyor belts and soil sifters to find traces of remains. Like, this reminds me of one of those dig sites.
Archaeological
sites. Yeah, like an archaeological dig or whatever. So on March 10th, 2004, so now we're coming up on like 2 years after they first started discovering these things, the government revealed that Robert may have ground up human flesh and mixed it in with the pork that he sold to the public.
I love pork too. So sad.
I know. The Providence Health Authority issued a warning. Another claim was
but
made.
But this had been going on for fucking years. So, like, thank you for the warning. Just actually, just keep it to
if
yourself
you
at
ate
this
it,
point, though.
It's already done, been eaten, and
it's done.
You're not. You probably don't even have pork in your freezer still from like a year ago. That's not.
You shouldn't.
I mean, I feel like it's only good for like a year or 6 months or something like that. Have you seen, this is completely off topic, but the Many Horrors of Dolores Roach on Prime? So there's a new show. It just came out on Prime.
Is it scary?
It's scary, but not, it's basically like a modern day Sweeney Todd.
Can Chris watch it?
He might be able to.
Maybe I can watch it too.
It was really good.
She was
killing people and they grind them up and they put them in people's food. So it's not a spoiler, but that's what happens. And anyways, I don't know why that's always such a thing. I don't want to eat people. I especially don't want to eat meat that has people mixed in with it.
Yeah, I'm good.
Don't trick me into eating humans. I don't like it, okay? Don't try. Don't even try to.
I will get upset.
I will be very mad.
I'll write you a strongly worded email.
This text message is going to be scathing that I have to say about you making me eat people. Robert Picton was charged with murdering 26 women. He was only convicted on 6 charges, which sucks. But he was sentenced to life in prison with no possibility of parole, I think, for like 25 years. He claims to have killed 49 women. His brother Dave is a free man, which I don't understand. But he's a registered sex offender.
It's just like the Chicago, the dude, what am I talking about? And then his girlfriend's all like, oh, I didn't know that he was murdering people. Like, get the fuck out of here.
Strangler.
Thank you. The Cleveland Strangler. Like, what do you mean you didn't know he was out there just fucking wilding out murdering people? Like,
right,
you were there in the house. Like, he was on the house with the fucking bones scattered all over the place. What do you mean you don't know about it? Whose bones do you think they are? Like, what do you think this is? Like, you think these are like animal bones, and also still weird.
That
why?
Arm with fingers, you're like, that's just like a horse arm. Like, come on, I know better, and I'm not a farmer, okay? But remember, they also have a sister, she didn't live there anymore, but she was part owner of the property when the parents died and they inherited the property. She inherited a part of it as well. So, I didn't read much about her, but I think she had to know something was going down. So you've got Dave, who like lives there and is like president of the good old boy society or the pig club that they have. He's like a free man, but I mean, he has to be a registered sex offender, but still, that's not your only issue, friend. And the sister, who was like involved in the financial dealings of them, like taking all this money and stuff. She had to know something was going down.
Fair enough.
But he's in prison. He was recently transferred to like a higher security prison in Canada somewhere. But he's still there.
One of his big regrets was not getting to an even 50. That's what he told people. Mm-hmm. He is like, you know what sucks though is that it wasn't 50. It was only 49. And it's crazy to me that they went in for illegal firearms, but then had to come back because fucking dead bodies.
Like, are you kidding me? Can you imagine like going in somewhere and being like, I'm going to get this person for this thing. I'm going to catch them because they lied to me.
Because they lied to me.
They had this thing. And like.
And they're over there like gnawing on a human arm.
49 bodies just hanging out somewhere, because if he killed 49, those bodies were somewhere, probably eaten. Weird.
This is just crazy.
I hate this guy.
I hate him too. So that's it. If you want to be out there murdering people, this is a prime example of why I think you need a pig farm on which to do so. Be wary of your local pig farmers or just farmers in general, you know, because they have the means to do things, buy fresh foods from them, but maybe like skip out on some of those raves. Maybe stay home. We will see you back next week for a parenting chat.
What a perfect segue. Parenting, pig farming, parenting chat. It's
all
great.
Relevant.
Around
all
here,
relevant.
You're going to get all kinds of mystical advice. Have a great week. Goodbye.
Bye.